know, if you see a topic that you find interesting. Ernest will be back in a moment, and we will get started.
Yep, I am back, and we are set and ready to roll. And thank you to all of you for joining us. This is the Media Bits Power Hour. We've been hosting these calls for years and years, going all the way back to 1995 on a monthly basis and working together with Jed and their team at Media Bids. We've been just rocking these calls based on topics that are relevant to you as publishing and publication professionals. We realize we have magazines and shoppers and free and paid publications, newspapers of all kinds, and then we also recognize and want to be very cognizant that we have the online component, the e-newsletters on our websites and all that we're doing there. So we wrap around media and advertising, sales, and leadership success. So thank you to all of you for joining us. Our invitation for this particular program went out across more than 500,000 leaders in our sector, and frankly, the leaders that are here and those of you that are here will be able to glean the most from this. As always, we're going to encourage you the very best in adult learning. Close your office doors, try to create as much of a quiet environment as possible, and we know that the very best in adult learning also says take lots of notes. Take the agenda we sent over to you. We have 5 key points that we're going to be covering here, and make lots of notes over the course of our program. Therefore, you can then deploy, and you can take the information we're going to share, and you'll be able to incorporate these skills with your leadership literally from the moment that our program ends here today. Also, you'll be able to send any questions real-time. We'll field those. Just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or simply send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we will incorporate that right into our program. Jed, if you would, how about some opening words to the group about you and Media Bids and the wonderful work that you're doing in the publication space and helping both advertisers win and, of course, the clients of Media Bids win as well from a revenue perspective. What might you like to share?
All right, great. Well, you know, we first of all, I want to thank Ernest. He really has an enormous amount of knowledge. So if you're in publishing, if you're involved in publication anyway, there's a lot I always learn from him, and I'm sure you'll find the same. He does a great job. Media Bids is a website which is devoted to buying and selling in print space. There's several different ways that we make that happen, but we have about 17,000 advertisers that use our site for buying and selling, for buying newspaper and magazine ad space. It works in a similar way to Expedia or Travelocity or Priceline in the sense that the advertisers are using an online component to make a purchase. So if you're looking for other revenue streams for your publication, looking for other ways to sell ads to advertisers that maybe your sales force is not normally reaching, we would love to get you involved. And there's no cost. It's something where we Media Bids only makes money if ads sell. So give us a call or respond to the emails that you receive at the end of the end of the teleseminar, and we'd love to help you get started and tell you more about how we can, you know, what we can do.
Wonderful, Jed, and it's really a delight to be working together, and for all of you that are joining our program here today, Jed and his team do a fantastic job. They will serve you, they will help you, they will guide you, they'll give you recommendations. They have a wealth of information, so positively, surfmediabids.com. They're a fantastic group. I've worked closely with Jed for years and years and years. If there's a question, he answers it. If there's an opportunity, he'll help you explore it. If there's a challenge or something that isn't working, he'll dig in as well. Even the smallest email, we have somebody register, as you know, Jed, for our program, and you jump right out. Hey, I'll take care of that. Let me field that question. Yeah. Off we go. Okay? So thank you again to all of you. My name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the publishing and advertising sales space since the mid-'80s. I am a business coach, and we provide business coaching and training for more than 800 publications around the world in 8 time zones. Very proud of that. In addition to the publication training and coaching and guidance, we also do on-site work. So we work by phone, by conference call, plus on-site. We also provide executive recruiting services, meaning we help our clients find and select and hire great hires. We also do pre-hire selection testing before you make a decision to know that you've got the eagle you're thinking about, not the gobble-gobble turkey that won't actually soar and rock. We work on the 10 steps actually for hiring great advertising sales team, and we help you incorporate that in your program. We also help our clients buy and sell publications. We have a website search engine optimization team. We know about driving revenue at your websites, e-newsletters as well. We do expert training on LinkedIn. Every single thing that we do, Jed, and for all of you that are listening to our program, is helping our clients win, helping you compete. And then to the side of that and related to that, we never, ever work with a competing company or firm or media group. So that our advantages are exclusively yours and for and about you and your success. So one of the things we're going to be talking about directly relates to today. We're going to be talking about dashboard equals success. Now, the principle of dashboard is something that we have used with our clients over the last 16 years, but that I began, Jed, going all the way back 20-plus years ago. Similar to the dashboard on a car, there's only so many dials you need, but each of those dials are relevant, right? You know, do we need to know how much gas, you know, in our tank? Yeah, I think
yes.
So. Last I checked. How about the temperature of our engine? You know, too hot, too cold. How about that? What else do we get? We get gas, and we get temperature. Oh, we get battery, right? We get our battery reading. What else do we get that is at a glance that's right there in front of us that tells us? We get those service checklists, right? You know, hey, heads up, your vehicle needs service. How about oil pressure, right? Another biggie, all right? So those are the things on a dashboard. So if all of you think about sort of what we take for granted in the driving of a vehicle, if those things are on our dashboard, then shouldn't we also have a dashboard for success as publication and media and advertising leaders? Now, I realize that we have a cross-section, and Jed and I looked at sort of the registrations that came in, and we realize we have a cross-section. Those of you that are the presidents, CEOs, owners of your companies, beautiful. The dashboard will speak to you on one side. And then for those of you that are advertising leaders, VPs of sales, and so forth, that are driving teams, your dashboard will be different, okay? So we're going to dance back and forth as we roll through the course of our program here. And then for those of you that are just sales professionals selling media, publications, newspapers, whatever that might be, your dashboard will be different. But the key piece is, what are the barometers of your success? So no matter where you are in your organization, let our program here today really help you think about what will help you succeed. And that's what goes on a dashboard, okay? So number one, so what is a Power Hour dashboard, and what is included, and why does a dashboard equal success? Let's frame that, if we could, Jed, a little bit. It's a central place to store information where it's all together. It keeps you on the pulse of your biz no matter where you are in the hierarchy of your organization. It helps you with decision-making, really good decision-making. It also gives you a real fast at-a-glance of where you are. It helps you with trends. It helps you with forecasting. From a boating perspective, Jed, which I know, of course, you so enjoy, it makes certain that our boat doesn't go on the rocks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't want our boat on the rocks, and we don't want our publication or our advertising team or our media group to hit the rocks. We don't want our cash flow to be short. We don't want our renewal or retention percentage to not be in alignment, okay? So recognize that a dashboard does two things. It keeps the sun shining. Okay, sun shining. Let's see. So all of you know I'm going to see Michael Fronte. Sun shining is one of his favorite songs. Oh, my goodness. I was able to incorporate it into our program today, Jed. Hang on. I may have to put the tunes on just for a second. Okay, let's move back.
This may be the only Michael Fronte reference you hear in a teleseminar ever.
In your lifetime. In your lifetime. But at this moment, if you don't know Michael Fronte, Franti, he has two of the happiest songs I've ever experienced in my life. So Michael Fronte tonight is in my hometown, and I'm elated. We're going to go see him, my wonderful wife and I. So a dashboard keeps us moving towards positive trends, towards the sunshine. Oops, I wove that in again. But on the other side, it keeps us from the rain clouds and the lightning, okay, and the dark side, okay? So recognize that that's what a dashboard will accomplish. Also, it also ties in from a leadership perspective. For those of you that are guiding and leading your media teams, your advertising sales teams, and so forth, we want to inspect what we expect. You know, so on a dashboard, if you have included, for example, renewal percentage system-wide or publication-wide or company-wide, you also can look at renewal percentage individual by individual team members, okay? So we're able to inspect what we expect and not work from the perception. Well, I perceive we're renewing this, or I perceive that this is the contract length that we have configured, or I believe you know, when we have themed publications or themed issues, I believe that, you know, we're converting those themes into ongoing advertisers, okay? We want to, as leaders, always come from a place of strength, always a place of confidence, always a place of information. He or she who leads with the most information wins. So a dashboard becomes your tool. And again, going all the way up from the top of an organization, this leadership information is key. For those of you that are guiding in the middle, guiding your teams, you want this. And for those of you that are in the sales selling capacity the day in, day out, you still want a dashboard. You should know what your commissions are. You should know what your agreement lengths are, your renewal percentages. Even if your company isn't expecting it of you or tracking it, you want it for you. It'll help you be a stronger leader as a sales pro, and it'll also become a tool that you'll incorporate when and as you move up the ranks, okay? So it all fits in very nicely. Also recognize, and then I'm going to pause because maybe, Jed, you have a question or comment related to the dashboard piece, but also recognize that you can customize a dashboard for your own particular needs and always include and design it with your team. Don't build it in a vacuum. You might get it started as a result of coming to today's program, but when you roll it back in, go incorporate and work with your team to tweak it from there. Okay? Jed, comments or observations related to this?
You know, my only observation is sort of a, you know, just a personal one in the sense that, I have sort of my equivalents of what I believe you're going to, you know, some of the components you're going to talk about with the dashboard. And, it almost becomes a game, you know, something that, you know, you look forward to each morning kind of, you know, sort of quantifying, you know, your success or or challenges from the, you know, the day or week before, you know. And it's something that I've sort of come to look forward to.
Absolutely. And just if you would share just one aspect of what you track as you say you start your day, and then I'm going to share with you one of mine. But what might be just one factor that you might track as you start your day that you might look at and makes you smile?
Well, the most fun thing for me is you know, as we've talked about in other teleseminars, one of the things that MediaBits does is we track virtually every ad that we put out. So we have a unique phone number in each ad. So one of the sort of fun things for me to look at each morning is how many phone calls were generated the day before, sort of in total and then by customer. So for example, I can see, you know, if we had a good day, you know, if a specific publication, you know, drove a larger than expected number of phone calls. You get sort of funny trends that happen. You know, for example, Mondays and Tuesdays tend to be better than Wednesdays, you know, in terms of consumer response. But every once in a while, you know, you just get this kind of magical Thursday or something, you know, where you know, for the stars align and you know, the numbers are sort of, you know, are uncharacteristically high. So, you know, just those are the types of things that I kind of start to look at.
Absolutely. And those are the same conceptual ideas of what we're talking about here related to a dashboard. And we're going to get very granular with sales and operations and marketing and so forth and financial. In my world, I love to keep track of those that are across the LinkedIn groups that we participate in. So I know, for example, in the month of May, 298,417. I know in the month of June, 315,343. I like to keep track of the impact that we're making. Last month, 12.3 million readers, members, participants saw something we posted on LinkedIn or something we wrote about in a publication or participated in one of our programs like this or came to our website or received our newsletter, right? We have six of those with almost 200,000 readers. So all of those things matter. Related to tracking, last year on the SEO side, our clients enjoyed 22,184 inbound calls, equaling $170 million in leads and opportunity and potential. All of these things, what we measure is what improves. And in light of these economic times, which you're hearing in a very intimate way between myself and Jed back and forth here today, is to realize that in these economic times, this dashboard and these tools become absolutely key, more important than ever before. Okay? And that's a very important piece that we want to share and convey here today. Okay? All right, so let's talk about point number two. So what goes on a Power Hour dashboard with a focus on sales success? Now, there's we talked about just a minute ago about being able to customize and being able to tweak it for your own particular needs. There are at least, there could be more, at least 28 unique ways or things that we measure on a dashboard. But remember, like in a car, the goal is what things work for you. So we're going to share some examples with you in the area of sales, marketing, financial, and operational that are just a snippet of those things. Maybe it'll spark your ideas, and this will be what you put, or maybe you'll have other ideas entirely. And if there are things that you put on your dashboard, for example, in the sales category, we have a total of 28 areas. Let's talk about some of those that would be very important from a dashboard perspective. For example, Jed, one is, you know, number of new clients. The lifeblood of any publication, media, advertising, sales group is what? New biz. How do we measure that? Is it by number of clients, number of pages, number of dollars, or all of the above? Okay, what are the relevant key parts about new clients that we want to measure? And then can we measure it by publication? Can we measure it by the month and the activity? Do we know by the individual? All right, how granular do you want to be? A dashboard is the top-level look, but oftentimes behind it is the underbelly of additional information that we wanted at an even more granular level. So if you can look across the board and see that you're delighted to see that there's 80 new full pages for this issue, high five. Then you drill down one level behind that, and you see that Sam sold 78 and your team of 15 sold nothing. Well, okay, nice dashboard, but Sam made all your sales. We got a problem here. All right, so we want that ability. How about existing clients? How many total existing clients, or how much total revenue from existing? Existing is the ability to obtain, which is new, and maintain, which is keep. That's the biz that we're in. Obtain, maintain, retain, okay? So that's important on a dashboard. How about, let's get even more granular, how about the number of either sales calls? And I'm not a big fan about that, but I really am a big one on sales presentations, Jed. How many presentations? How many team members do I have? How many presentations went out this week, this quarter, this month, compared to this month last year? What does it tell us about the pulse of the opportunities? Because last I checked, Jed, if we're not given a sales presentation, you know, the old face-to-face, belly-to-belly, we'd say the traditional form, or virtual, whatever it takes, the reality is that, sales presentations are a real barometer, right?
Sure. Ernest, when you're talking to someone who has never used a dashboard approach mm-hmm. like this before, do you typically find that it's something that needs to evolve, where you know they start with sort of a basic set of information and then grow it, or is it something where you're better off kind of trying to come up with sort of all the pieces of information that makes sense, and then approach it that way? Because I've just found that the kiss of death, mm-hmm. at least for me, sometimes is when I try to do too much
right.
with it too fast,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach that?
Sure. You know, I'll typically start with a client. It's a great question. Like, how do you weave and work it together? I'll typically start with a SWOT analysis: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And then from there, look to see what's falling where. Then, of course, give recommendation. I've worked with publications for so long. You know, what I'm looking for, what are the real key touch points? Let me give you an example. A new upstart publication, it's all about new biz. We have absolutely got to track that at a much more granular level. And sort of a medium size or medium range publication or website or e-newsletter or whatever, you know, the medium we're working in, then we're going to talk a little bit more about how are we doing with retaining. That's the retention side, the renewal percentage. And then when we go to the other side, which is sort of real legacy sort of publications, websites, newsletters, you know, immediate, real tried and true. You know, I mean, my gosh, we've got some of our clients where 90%+ of every agreement that comes up for renewal renews.
Right.
Wow, what a field day, you know. And their challenge is more where do we find additional growth, where do we find new revenue streams. So you have to kind of look at where the life cycle is. Are we a startup? Are we kind of a medium range? Are we a legacy, you know, a media, you know, environment, publication, newspaper, whatever that might be. And if you're a legacy, then you have different things that you're tracking. And all of these things, hey, how about cash flow? If you're an upstart, cash is king. Huge place. If you're a legacy, it's more cash reserve and how to invest or deploy that into ongoing revenue streams that will continue to produce. So it's a great question. Any additional thought or feedback on that?
No, I mean, I think that makes sense. I mean, I guess it, you know, it all depends on your perspective. I mean, I was thinking when you were talking, you know, maybe, you know, if I was more involved in sales, right, I'd probably be more interested in sort of the gross number of sales that were made, right? Because to some extent, that's an indicator of effort and effectiveness.
Correct.
Right? It's just as hard to sell 6 issues of a business card size as it is to sell 6 issues of a full page, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But if I'm more management, right? I'm probably more concerned about, you know, overall revenue or page count. So I guess it just depends on what specifically you're looking at.
Yep. And we got actually a question from Johnny that just came in. And remember, for all of you that are joining us, please send an email to ernest@powerhour.com or just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here, and we'll weave in your questions. But we have one from Johnny who's in North Carolina who says, will a dashboard enhance the advertising sales of a small community news publication? And, Johnny, the answer is yes. Whether you're large or small, whether you're a startup or whether you're a legacy or somewhere in between, you know, the reality is that a dashboard serves a purpose for all of those. And at any point in time, again, using a boating visual jet, any point in time, the soundest boat can go ashore, can hit the rocks. We don't want to do that. And the soundest boat can also have the most beautiful, wonderful tour, trip, travels, and so forth. And that's what we're looking for. Let a dashboard sort of point you in that direction. Okay? So, Johnny, thanks for your question in North Carolina. If you have a follow-through question, please let us know. And you also asked a companion question, can this be used on websites? And we'll address that in just a couple of minutes, okay? So coming back on point number two, a dashboard can also measure. These are some of my absolute favorites, okay? And they're not as obvious. Like, I like to track sales presentations to those who are my competitors. I like to eat the lunch of my print competitors, my newsletter competitors, my website competitors. I am consumed by them. I truly believe that there's a pie, Jed, and I want every slice of that pie. Okay? Color me silly, but I want to remove competitors. And I want all of you to know that not only have I done that in my own direct work, closed competitors, but I encourage and want, and all of my coaching and training and the work that we do and all the strategies we deploy with Power Hour and for with our clients is every bit about that. We play hard. We compete fiercely. So part of a dashboard for me is going to be how many presentations were given to the top 20 in my competitors, or measured another way, how many presentations were given this month to competitors, to advertisers who are in competitors who have double trucks or prime placement on my competitor websites or full pages. Okay, you want to get close to a dashboard? That says, man, we are going after the jugular of competitors. Okay, in my corporate days, we had a conference room so filled with things on the wall, hanging from the ceiling, charts and graphs. We went on to find that our competitors were coming by in the evening, Jed, just to peer in to see what we had there. We had to close the blinds, okay, to make certain our competitors couldn't slide on by our brick-and-mortar building, go look in and see what was going on in that room. Okay, absolutely. We were told that definitively because we interviewed a person who left, and we did not realize that it was a big deal. Fortunately, we learned pretty quickly, and that was the end of that. The party was over. Here's another one that is a little deceiving, but a very interesting one going back to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the single most powerful and the single best sales and marketing field day I have seen, Jed, in 25 years. We've done entire programs on this, and for those of you that come on a very consistent basis, there's rarely a call that I don't talk about LinkedIn, okay? What you're doing on LinkedIn, the connections you're making, the groups you're joining, and then further to that, how you post and how you gain business, all right? Absolutely key. If you are not making money from LinkedIn, you are not doing it correctly. The flip side is that on a dashboard, keeping track of the total LinkedIn connections across your team, which is a whole nother conversation because there are other challenges about who actually owns that LinkedIn profile and how you craft LinkedIn profiles. And it has nothing to do with individuals by name. And again, we address that in prior programs. But most importantly, the health and wealth of your system, even taking it to the most granular, Jed, is how many groups is my team participating in? What are the total members? What's the total reach? And then how are we deploying that strategy across LinkedIn is something that most would never have imagined goes in a dashboard. I believe it's key, and I believe there's a significant opportunity there. Here's another one I like. I like to watch the tenure of my team and turnover within my own team on a dashboard, and I also like to think about it with my competitors, who's coming, who's going, who's on the masthead, who's no longer there. What competitors have people that are legacy, 10-plus years or more? Those are formidable players. Okay? So these are some of the things that you wouldn't be sort of in the norm, but this is where you customize and you custom tailor it. Another big one on a dashboard, lost business, and lost business to what? Where are we losing biz? That's interesting. We had 100 renewals that came up, and we lost 30. Well, I'm glad that we got the 70, Jed, but what happened to the other 30? In what category, in what classification did they fall into? We learn 100 times more from our lost sales or lost renewals than we do from the stuff that stays with us. Jed, comment or feedback related to this part on the sales?
Well, I mean, just a question. I'm just curious. I mean, do you – what sort of – how do you physically display the dashboard? Do you try to do it, you know, on the wall? Do you do it in an Excel spreadsheet? How do you – you know, what do you think the best format for sort of keeping track of this information is?
Yes, it's another great question, and we had a related question from Mary in Texas. So, Mary, thanks for your question, and I'm hoping Jed's as well will relate to that. A couple of ways. I like my land, sea, and air, okay? So there are things, if I'm the leader of my media publication group, there are things that I'm going to want in your most basic spreadsheet, and then I'm going to want the backup spreadsheets that can drill all the way down. If I'm a sales leader, VP of sales, and I'm guiding my advertising sales team, I'm going to want things probably in a spreadsheet that I might share, but I'm also going to want in my conference room visuals. I love visual tools. So this dashboard comes to life on big sheets of, you know, big easels and big sheets of paper and stuff stuck on the wall. And for those that have worked with me, some that I know are on this call, you know I'm a major believer in letting your walls sell and tell. Key things, Jed, from the dashboard don't need to be on a computer screen. I want it literally, try to imagine an erasable board that's 10 feet tall, and that might be 30 feet going down a wall. That might break everything out from new clients, top 10, competitive analysis. It might track our LinkedIn. It might track our renewal percentages. You get my drift. I'm talking about really big wall visuals. And there's a little story to that. I was early in my corporate days in the publication side and advertising sales. I was invited to come in. I was in California. I was invited to come into Nevada and join a group and kind of see how they were doing. And things just weren't clicking. And we're sitting in California writing so much biz, it was laughable. We were having a ball. And I got there, put my briefcase down, and got to chatting with the group. And I said, hey, where's your, you know, sales board? Where's your, you know? And they said, oh, it's right in here. I said, well, where is it? They said, oh, it's right on the back of the door. I was like, you mean that? It was literally 1 foot by 2 feet. It was the smallest sales board I had ever seen. It was the smallest, most pitiful sales board I had ever seen. And I was like, I didn't chuckle. I just turned and said, if the board is that small, then we're projecting small sales, aren't we? I said, that will never fly. First thing in order of biz, let's get out to the supply store. I want a board covering every stitch, every wall, and we're going to have as big as can possibly be, because that's where we're going to go right, 50 and 100 and 200 and 1,000 pages.
Ernest, do you know that you can now buy paint that is dry board material?
Really?
Yeah. So you can paint your walls as a dry board. So, you know, it's now at a new level.
A new level of insanity, right? So you might say, well, how is this a dashboard? Are you kidding me? It's the biggest dashboard you've ever seen. It's a billboard. Right. We're beyond dashboard, okay? But what are the key indicators? Here's a little tip. And by the way, we, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, Jed and myself, we've put on entire programs called How Do Your Walls Sell? There's an entire 1 hour all about this. But just in a quick capsule, big, big believer in when you walk into these rooms and you've got these massive boards that are tracking all the key dashboard things, right, billboard style, let every single rep on your team have a different color ink. Now, it might sound so pedestrian, okay, but Carrie, who worked for me, would walk up and go, where's my purple? I got some renewals. Where's my purple ink? I got some new biz to write. Where's my purple ink? I had three great competitive presentations. She would walk around like a rooster in that meeting. And then Margaret would jump and go, I got my green. Where's my green? Now, here I am repeating their names and their color ink. It's so burned in my brain. Margaret was green. Carrie was purple. They got up like just roosters crowing around the room and updating and recording and reporting. And they had to. And when we sat in that room, and if you'd had nothing to report and you had no ink or color to put up on the wall, guess what? That wasn't exactly your best meeting. It was very evident who was up crowing and who was up writing and who was recording. So the dashboard, it also is intended in this visual way to also be a peer-to-peer form of internal pressure. Look, I may have my sales manager saying do more, but gosh darn, how many meetings do I want to come to on Monday that I've got to go up there and I can't put a single sale on my website? Now, I have to go up and I can't do a single renewal. Jed, a comment
right,
to that?
Now, you know, the only question I have about that, though, is that to some extent the data that you're referring to now, which is important for the stuff you're talking about, is data that's coming from the salespeople. Is that typical to a dashboard, or does the data that you recommend publishing professionals look at be more, you know, something that would come from accounting or come from, you know, from a more formal source?
You know, it depends. Sometimes it depends on the information. Financial information is going to come more from an accounting source. Sales information might be coming from a traffic director. Advertising sales information might be flowing those who are flowing the contract. So it sometimes depends. There's got to be a little symphony of what is the key information we want and then ultimately who provides it.
Right.
Okay, now from a leadership perspective, this is where now from the coaching side of the house, I pause and say, okay, Jed, you may want these things in your dashboard, but I don't want you to go drive AR or AP or this. I need that fed into your dashboard. So you need a reporting mechanism that on Fridays, your team, you know, Mary provides this, Tim provides that, Tina provides this, and Thomas brings you that. Fine. Then that flows into your dashboard. You know, at 4 o'clock on Friday, you've got everything on your dashboard. You take that home. Now you can go noodle it and be ready for your team meetings come Monday. Okay? So it's got to be a symphony of who provides what and who provides which and how that's working. Okay? All right. Very good. All right. So let's circle back. And, again, the questions so far, Johnny, thank you. Mary, thank you. And, obviously, Jed working and weaving these in. Let's go to point number 3, and let's take it to the marketing side. Okay? And the marketing side related to this might be some of the things that we've been chatting about. For example, total number of readers in your newsletter. Your newsletter is a marketing vehicle. And let's make a subtle distinction. We've done several calls over the years just about e-newsletters, but we've got e-newsletters, excuse me, that go out to our readers, right? Those who read our publications, our e-newsletters, come to our website, you know, the total media circle, right? And then we also have those who are our advertisers and prospective advertisers. And technically, if we were kind of thinking about three buckets, that's how it falls. A newsletter that goes out to our readers is one genre. What goes out to our clients is another. And what goes out to our prospective advertisers is another. And being able to move around those buckets. There might be times that an e-newsletter goes to all three of those buckets, times that we just want to speak to our clients, maybe an upcoming deadline or a technology change or a URL to reference, and there's other times that we want to tie in our prospective advertisers. Okay, so the number of readers, here's the key piece from a dashboard perspective, readers equals revenue. There's a direct correlation to the readers of your e-newsletter and the success of your publication, website, newspaper, magazine, whatever that might be. And without skipping to the end of our program here today, and the premium value when you go to sell your media group, publication, magazine, whatever that might be, you will be paid a premium as a result of the readers that you have. It really matters. Another one, size of your sales and marketing database, however you keep that and keep track of that. Is it Salesforce? Is it ACT? Is it Goldmine? It doesn't matter where. It's the what. How sortable is it? What kind of information is it? What kind of relevancy? How about notes that are made there from the sales teams? How deep and how rich is your sales database? How much activity? Another way, Jed, to measure, it's very easy nowadays with all of the sales automation software to be able to go in and say how many records of total records in our database were touched, were changed. Well, that gives you what? That gives you the intention of what percentage of those were actually moved forward or not. Jed, let's imagine we had 1,000 prospects and clients in our database. What would it tell us if, 5% were changed in the last 30 days? Right? In our dashboard. Or what if it said 95%? How would we feel from a leadership perspective based on those two percentages?
Yeah, and in most programs you can even see who changed them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can sort of, it just becomes another indicator of your most active colleagues.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because then you can drill it down even by the individual. So what if Mary has touched 95% of her, 200 prospects, and sitting side by side is Jim, who's touched 5%, and then you go look at sales performance, and no surprise, that Jim is sitting on the bottom, okay, a net gain or net performance or whatever that might be. Okay, so they go hand in hand, absolutely hand in hand. All right, so the marketing side. Let's go to the website piece. That was a question that Johnny had. Do we use dashboards for websites? Absolutely, categorically, okay? Websites, and we do a lot of work with our clients on the search engine optimization side. Jed, as you know, we've done entire programs on this, on driving revenue and revenue expectations from websites and revenue sales, and all of that weaves together because we're big believers. You package up website plus print plus e-newsletter. That's the three-legged bar stool that gives us strength. If we don't have this in place, we need it to be in place, okay? We've done, once again, entire programs, multiple programs, all related to these areas. So recognize that we want you to come off this call. If you don't, you must have them in place. Now, when you do, here are the things that you can pull from a dashboard. For example, Jed, we can pull our Google Analytics. What does that tell us? Number of website visitors. That's easy. In fact, it'll even tell us how it compares to last month. It'll even tell us how it compares to competitors. It'll even tell us the keywords and phrases that are being utilized, that people are utilizing to find our website. So it all ties in nicely. The number of website visitors is sort of like owning a yogurt store. How many people came through my door? Right? Pretty straightforward. The next piece, going back to what Jed was saying, if in fact we have phone tracking from our website, if that's a part of it, we can track the number of inbound leads and phone calls. We can track the number of inbound email leads as well to get an accurate picture of how our website's pulling. Or in the case of the way MediaBids works with their clients and advertisers, we can track the actual advertising results. We can take a look on our dashboard to see, much like Jed is looking across the landscape to see how phone calls are coming in on his side, you can do the same with your advertisers. For those of you that are on our call, today and on our program, if you work in and sell any advertising in automotive, real estate, apartment space, senior housing, any of those, there's not a single ad for the last 10 years that doesn't have a tracking number. Period. Mandatory. For those of you that are going, huh, what tracking number and where, ping us a note, and Jed and their team will be more than happy to share the tools and resources behind the scenes, but just recognize that you have the full ability to track everything. Okay? The next piece, so we can track website visitors, leads, calls, emails. The next piece, we can also track our SEO rankings. Where do you rank if I type in, horse farms in Idaho? Where do you rank? What are the keywords and phrases? Your rankings, your website performance is in direct proportion to can you be found. And it has nothing to do with what you think you need to be found for. It takes somewhere between 10 to 20 hours of research behind the scenes to know what people are actually typing to find your website, what your competitors have optimized for. We call these white papers, internet marketing white papers. So where are you being seen or not? What are the keywords and phrases? What are your competitors being seen for? How many pages on your site are indexed? How many pages on your competitors? And then further to that, how many websites in general? It's very deceiving, Jed, that we truly believe that, well, my competitor X has a site and Y has a site and Z has a site. That's not the case. You might have competitors that have 88 websites and you don't know it. All part of the proprietary work behind the scenes in terms of white papers and work that we do in terms of guiding our clients, because what you see may not actually be what is happening behind the scenes. It's a very, very important distinction, and it takes between 60 to 80 hours of research to drill down to a white paper level to be able to know exactly what's happening in your marketplace, okay? But, again, your SEO rankings is part of your marketing success. So, Jed, any comments just related to this marketing component, point number three, before we move to the remaining 2 points here?
I think that as you mentioned, a lot of this stuff is more challenging offline. A lot of the online stuff is easy to track because it's sort of already ready made for you in a lot of cases. So if you can figure out the offline portion, the online portion is probably going to be even easier.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And these really are not only things we want on our dashboard, but these are things that add, again, to the value of our company. It adds a premium. What we want all of you to know is that your dashboard ties into, one day, the sale of your company, your organization, your team. And it's a very valuable part of those assets that you want to nurture today. Here's what happens, Jed. If we don't do it today and we don't begin to build these dashboards, these tools, the ability to track what's happening, then come the end of the day, we get a phone call that goes something like this: "Hey, Ernest, reaching out, we've been in biz, blah, 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 blah. Hey, we're ready to sell our company, our organization, our team. Beautiful. Do you have this, this, and that?" "No, I don't." "But we've been in business 20 years. It's like, "Yeah, but if you never did any work on your SEO, we're not going to go fix that in the next 3 weeks." Okay? If you've never been on LinkedIn and you don't have, 6,000 connections, or you're not part of 40 of the key groups, or if you don't have an e-newsletter that has 16,000 or 116,000 readers, we can't go microwave that. Yeah, we'll sell your publication or your company or the properties that you have available, but in the end, you will not earn a premium. That conversation is one of the toughest conversations, Jed, that we have with business owners and industry leaders, because it's, by the time you get to the end of that day, it's too late. You can't go back and recreate or microwave those things. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. Conversely, for those who reach out to us in advance, we set the stage, we guide them, we set the structure, and then 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years, whenever in the future, all those tools are in place, and therefore they are at a premium. So let's continue. On the financial operational side, this is a little more tailored. Every business is a little different. Jed, some of the obvious things that go on the financial dashboard, things like revenue, things like expenses, things like budget and budget performance. Some of the ones that, we look at is also print cost to revenue and what those ratios are, web cost to revenue and what that ratio is, distribution or circulation cost to revenue. And again, it depends. This is, again, is about a dashboard. You've got to do the things that are relevant and meaningful. For example, you might be enhancing your editorial. And as a result of that, that might be something you really want to track closely as it relates to editorial and its relationship to revenue to see how they're tracking along. Okay? For some of you that are on our program here today, you don't have an editorial component. You're just straight advertising. This wouldn't be as relevant. So you got to pick and choose sort of what makes sense here. How about fixed expenses versus revenue? How about sales expenses versus revenue? Jed, when we have publications that are upstarts, watching the sales to revenue line is a huge deal. Because it's, that also ties into cash flow. You know what I'm saying? So collections, AR, AP, all of those things factor in here. Another piece, though, just on the operational side, is that we look to see sort of the meaningful touch points that relate to distribution and circulation. Often overlooked, they're embedded in our financials, but there might be key things. For example, Jed, we might be setting up new distribution locations, or we might have set up a new circulation relationship, or we might be going on the newsstand, or we might be moving back to direct mail. All of those things factor in depending on a publication, magazine, newspaper, media group, and what it is that you're trying to accomplish here. Those are some of the key pieces. And then even sometimes on dashboards, go the production side. How many total ads going up on the web and how many people are handling those? How many new ads or renewals or pickup ads are we picking up on the print side? So we might need a bit of visual on a dashboard that also ties in to production. But more importantly, if I were coaching and guiding my production leader, he or she would positively have a dashboard that would be tracking that. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I think that, you know, what I've found is that a lot of times when you begin to sort of look at these things over a period of time, mm-hmm. The preconceptions that you took into it end up being incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
The person you thought was your fastest at doing X, you know, ends up, you know, maybe not being the fastest, or maybe one person's doing 80% of the work and the other person's doing 20, or, you know, all sorts of things which are sort of eye-openers.
Well, and that applies across distribution, circulation,
right.
that rips right across production, right?
Right.
I can remember hiring graphic artists and bringing them in for the initial interview. And I used to do this later on, then I learned to do it on the front end. And I would say, look, before we get settled in, you know, there's going to be a lot of ad production. I'd like you to build an ad. There's the computer. I know you brought your portfolio. Thank you very much. They probably spent, you know, 12 years building a portfolio. There's the computer. Here's the ad copy. Here's the photo. Here's the colors. Here's the logo. Here's what I need done. Build it. Some would be done in 20 minutes. Some would be there 6 hours later. Okay? I'm not kidding.
No,
right?
I know. It's like, you know, graphic designers are sort of like, carpenters, right? I mean, in mm-hmm. the sense that, you know, some people are, it just takes longer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So, anyhow, that's another piece related to the dashboard. But you remember the dashboard from a leadership perspective, if you're running a $40 million or $400 million or even a $4 million group, you're probably not looking at number of pages being produced by your production team, but your production manager is. And that's where your leadership and your coaching says, okay, now wait a minute. Let me take this to my CERC team or my distribution team or my production. Where's their dashboard? And along the way, they might be feeding that and rolling it up to you. Or when you're meeting each week, they have their own dashboard. Same applies for those of you that are leading your sales managers and your VPs of sales. That their dashboard will look different from yours, but in working together with them to craft that dashboard, then they're going to roll that up. So as you sit down each week, hey, beautiful, bring in your dashboard. Let's go take a look. What are the trends? What's going pause? Inspect what you expect. And on the other side, what's not going so well? Where are the concerns? And you'll be able to spot it immediately. And that's the key component here, okay? Point number 5, why and how will a Power Hour dashboard give your publication and media advertising sales company the opportunity to be sold at a premium on the day you're ready to sell it? So you've been listening to some of the things along the way. And in terms of dashboard, we always try to sort of take in Covey's principle, Jed, you know, focus with the end in mind. You know, you want to run a marathon? Okay, let's agree how far that is and how we're going to get there, and then let's roll the clock back and talk about the training you're going to use or utilize to get there, okay? Same thing applies here. If you're thinking about that last day and you're sitting down and you want to have the maximum value for what you're going to sell, then think about how this dashboard ties in. This is not casual. This is very important because two things are happening. Number one, you're identifying the key areas in your business that are important enough to put on the dashboard. And number two, you're going to have a trackable trend line for what you've done year over year over year. Okay, so focus with the end in mind. Also recognize that a premium value means just that, that when publications and companies are sold, the multipliers could be everything from a low of 1 to a high of 21. That's a lot of bandwidth. Think about your NOI. You think about your EBITDA. Think about your bottom line profitability and multiply that times 1 versus 21. That's a wide swing of dollars in net worth of your publication or your media group or your website or your newspaper or your magazine, whatever that might be. Okay, but the general range that might run in the range of 2 or 2.5 or 3 or 4 or 5, while it looks like just a percentage, okay, the difference between 2 and 3% is 50%. It's 1% numerically, but it's a 50% improvement. That's what you're playing for at the end of the day. For those of you that are in a leadership capacity where you're not so focused on the sale or the selling of your business, you're looking for promotability. You're looking for more income, more advancement, more promotability. And hopefully that's within your current team and organization. But if it's not, your dashboard will be a talking point when you go on to other interviews and join other teams. And then you launch into other organizations and you bring your dashboard concept with you. Okay? So you're going to earn a premium value in terms of your compensation and also also your career advancement and the opportunities that are brought forth. When we do any career guidance, Jed, we advise our clients to bring their dashboard with them so they can talk about that in the interview process. What a concept.
Right.
That's how important it is.
Right.
Okay. And the key point here, and this last point, is you can never go back. You can't go back and rebuild. If you haven't been working on LinkedIn, if you haven't been looking at your Google Analytics, if you don't really know where it is, and a group comes in and says, wow, you know, we've looked at you and all of your competitors. You're getting 1,000 visitors, and your six competitors are getting 100,000. Sorry, we're not even interested. Okay, that's the kind of response that you're going to get and receive. Okay? So a very important piece related to that. Let's just talk a little bit about dashboards and what it measures. Certainly, whether we measure by the month or the issue, that's unique to every company. So, you know, being able to define that. But then when you break it down from there, it's this month or this issue versus last month. It's this month versus the same month last year. If there's any seasonal adjustments or special issues that you have or special promotions you have, comparing a July to a prior July, if there's a seasonality to it. How about looking at, Jed, looking at, you know, this quarter, the rolling last 90 days, or this quarter compared to the same quarter last year, or this quarter compared to the prior quarter. You know, again, the dashboard's giving us a real nice barometer. How about year-to-date? Since the beginning of the year, how about the last rolling 12 months? One of my favorite on a sales leadership side is I like to look at the net gain of sales members and sales team members in a rolling 12 months, so I can see their monthly or their per issue. I can see their quarterly or three issues, and then I can roll back and see the entire 12 months. Talk about an opportunity, and then that sets up sales rankings and sales contests, because now I'm able to say who had the biggest net gain this month. Who had it for the best for the quarter? Who had it for the best quarter compared to last quarter? Who had it year to date? Who had it compared to budget? All of a sudden, I can take my salespeople and take them across three or four or five or six different ways I can rank them, and I can see the prevailing trend. I can see who's sloping up and who's declining. I can see who's had that real spike. I can see who's really dropped off. Okay? So from a leadership perspective, for those of you that are presidents, CEOs, and owners of your companies, you're looking at it from that perspective. What are the prevailing trends, big picture of the team? For those of you that are VPs of sales and sales leaders, you're looking at it, prevailing trend, and you're looking at it on the other side, which means you're looking at it from the individuals and how they're doing. Okay, is the wind in their face or wind at their back? How are they doing? You need to know that, and you want to know that. If you want to earn more commission, if you want to be paid more, or you want more career advancement, please never have your president or CEO or founder come to you and say, I was wondering about, or did you know, or have you seen? That is, we never as leaders want to operate on our heels. You're driving that to them, not the other way around. Okay? Jed, from your point of view, this piece about premium and being sold on that day, any additional comments or thoughts or questions that you might have related to that?
I think my only comment is really that, you know, to the extent whether it ends up that your goal is to be sold, or whether the goal is something else, you know, if you're not viewing the information and you're not acting on the information, then you're sort of leaving it up to chance. And so, which is an easy thing to have happen in a business, because we all are busy, you know, we all have lots of minutiae to try to take care of every day. But I think that having this kind of perspective really gives you the opportunity to kind of work on the business as opposed to work in the business. You know, it gives you the perspective and kind of the vantage point to be able to sort of take a look at how it's doing, and to make changes, you know, on the business itself, which is different than what most of us do all day every day, which is, you know, essentially to deal with, you know, problems and changes and things that are not as not working on the business as much as it's working sort of within it.
No, you're absolutely right. And a dashboard helps us actually strategically at 30,000 feet work strategically on our business, and then as we drill it down and we see the trends, then we work strategically in our business or bring in the team members that are responsible for those areas and really create the initiatives and say, look, gang, I'm looking at SEO rankings. They stink. Hey, I'm looking at the trend line on my dashboard. Totally unacceptable. Web team, SEO team, in my office, let's roll. Up on a conference call, let's roll. We've got to get this better. And you can take every single one of those areas, and that's the intention of a dashboard, is there's no place to hide. You can't move from perception. You move from reality, and you can see the trends. Let's pretend that you want to look at your renewal ratio. So you want to tuck that into your dashboard because you're not happy about the renewal ratios, or you're not happy with the length of agreement. What if the average length of our agreement system-wide is 2.1 issues? Horrible. Should be like 10.7. We're not even close. You know what that tells us? We're not merchandising our rate card, something that we did as one of our programs years ago. We're not merchandising our rate card. Or we're not training our team on how to sell value and how to sell and return on investment, how to tie in phone tracking, how to weave all that together. Okay? Or imagine if we're working around special sections or special issues. That's oftentimes a real Achilles heel for a sales team because, oh, it's the spring decoration. Oh, it's the upcoming, sell for the, and we get this big push and we sell 100 new pages or 100 new advertisers, and the next cycle they cycle out. It's a one-time run. I mean, Jed, you've talked about some of the stats that relate to an ad and an ad performance and the continual, results that come from that. You have to continue to advertise. It's an absolute. So those are the pieces related to that. Okay? Anything else before we pause here at the top of the hour?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, from my perspective, when I've started to sort of do my versions of dashboards, mm-hmm. the mistake I always make is trying to sort of do too much too soon. Mm-hmm. I want the world's coolest dashboard tomorrow morning. And I sort of set myself up for failure in a lot of ways because it means that, either I or everyone who works with me has to spend all their time working on the dashboard for me to sort of have this super cool information, mm-hmm. In a short amount of time. And I think that, when it's worked better for me has been when I've, sort of started with a base of information, get the process down of how that's collected and how I sort of show it to myself, so to speak, and then kind of build on that. It seems obvious, but I definitely have sort of made that mistake over the years of trying to do too much too fast, and it ends up kind of breaking down and then you sort of lose sight of the value of it.
But listen, your point is well made. And so the words that we'll share in closing as we wind our call down is to say to you, start with the key elements. We've covered a lot of areas. The idea was intended to stir your thinking, spur your thinking, stoke your fire related to this. To Jed's point, start small. Think about the single most relevant things in a SWOT analysis: strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Where are the threats? The threat is my renewals stink. The threat is my website's not being seen, therefore my advertisers aren't getting results. The threat is I've got a serious competitor, and I don't know how to compete with them. The threat is, fill in the blank. Take those threats and make those your starting points for a dashboard. Don't start with Revline or NetGain, or don't do the easy stuff. Do the hard stuff. And it might be only two or three or four things. Jed, I am a massive believer in MDA, what I call massive daily action. So if it's about renewal percentages, that becomes the theme of the day in every way, in every day, in all that we do. We must improve our renewal ratios. Now, what do we do about that? How do we give better renewal presentations? How do we better demonstrate our value? How do we drive better results for the advertisers and show them? How do we become thought leaders in the sector and get out and be more visible? How do we play across LinkedIn and we speak and we write in a way that serves our clients and prospects? All of these things behind the scenes are like a burlap bag. You stitch them all together and the bag holds strong. Unravel one or two and it unravels. I was working with a group earlier this morning that almost 5 years ago we set up their e-newsletter. We got to chatting about this, that, and the other. Hey, how's your newsletter and how's your readers going? Long pause. We stopped doing it. You stopped doing it. Wait a minute. We had almost 30,000 readers. Yeah, but I was like, stop right there. I didn't realize that. That's not that does not work. We have to have that. That's like the oxygen. We have got to breathe the life into your publication, into your website. How could you step aside from 30,000 readers? Okay, and we ended the call with the action steps to put that back in place, and before the sun goes down next week, it'll be back up. Okay, so it's just as easy to unravel those things behind the scenes. And if on my dashboard I'm looking at my newsletter readers and it's a flat 30,000, what does that tell me? We're not growing it because we're not sending it. Okay, so let's pause here. The top of the hour. We thank all of you for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for investing your time in your window. Please give us your feedback if this has been helpful. We're also going to post this as a on our LinkedIn group. You'll get the URL after our program here today. As post-discussion, if there's additional questions you'd like to see from us, and then in a couple of days, we'll also have the recording up and available so that you can listen to this again, that you can also share it with your team and so forth. So thank you to all of you for coming here together. And, Jed, how about some closing words for our group here today?
No, thanks again, Ernest, for another interesting hour. And thank you all for joining us. If you want more information about MediaBids, we'd love to talk to you further. And we appreciate your time.
Beautiful. Thank you to you as well, Jed, for all the work. And I hope you and your family have a wonderful travel and holiday. And we'll be back soon. In September with a new program and with new topics. So if there are any topics that inspire any of you that you'd like us to drill down or like us to include, all of our programs always come as an inspiration from you, from your questions, and from the work that we do around the world with all of our clients. So to all of you, have a wonderful day, and we will be in touch in the month of September when we circle back around, okay?
Great. Thanks very
much. Jed, thanks so much, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye.